Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Do you remember the first job that you had outside of the home? Some of us can remember it like it was yesterday. We delivered newspapers. We cut lawn. We raked leaves. We shoveled snow. We sold greeting cards door to door. But it was a job. It was the beginning of the time, the years of working for a living. And though the job description may have changed over the years, the principle really is still the same, isn't it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, if we will not work, then neither shall we eat. So we go to work. And every day that we work, we sell our time. We sell our expertise, our talents, our abilities, and we sell them for some sort of compensation. We do that in order to live. And this relationship between an employer and an employee, between a slave and a master, has always been the basis for our society. For all the years that we've walked this earth, it has been almost like an ongoing tug of war, right? Between management looking for what? More productivity? Increased profits? Lower operating costs? And workers. Workers who are looking for higher wages? Less hours? More benefits? And so in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, Paul discusses and he gives us some insight into this relationship between an employer and an employee, between a master and a servant. And he gives us insight into how we should function at our job, where we work. You know, at the time that Paul wrote this letter, we are told that there were over 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. That's a third of the entire population. And when Paul wrote this letter, there were slaves, there were servants who worked in the home, who worked in the fields, who worked in the family business. And some of them were highly trained and very well educated. There were doctors and teachers and artists and skilled craftsmen, some of the most talented and productive individuals that were found both in the home and in the government were slaves, were servants. And we remember Joseph, right? Joseph in Egypt, Daniel in Babylon. They were slaves in a foreign land. But because of their faithfulness to God, God elevated them to a position of authority. So how did there come to be so many slaves in the Roman Empire? Well, there were men and women and children who were captured by the Roman army in battle, and they were brought back to Rome, and they were sold in the marketplace. Other people who owed a large financial debt could sell family members, or they could sell themselves into servitude in order to pay back that debt. Fathers could sell their children into slavery. But despite what some people think, and despite what they have been taught, the Bible never condones this type of forced labor. In fact, Exodus chapter 21, we read this, that if anyone kidnaps and sells a man or keeps him as a slave, the person who does that should be put to death. But Rome really wasn't interested in what the Bible had to say about slavery. They regarded slaves as property, just like their livestock, just like a farm implement, something to be used, as do all those who take and make slaves of other people. So as Paul wrote this letter, there were slaves in the church in Ephesus. There were masters of those slaves, but they had come to Christ. So Paul addresses them. He addresses us as employers, as employees. How are we to handle these business relationships now that we know Jesus Christ? That was an important question to answer. Still is. So Paul begins Ephesians chapter 6, and he says this, verse 5, slaves, doulos, bond servants. A word that we're familiar with, a word that was used to describe one who was a slave, but who was a slave out of love for his master. It was also used to describe those who belong to Christ. We are his bondservants out of love for him. It's a word that had a wide variety of meanings. But Paul is not addressing really the social structure of slavery in that culture. Instead, he focuses on the hearts of those who had come to Christ. Those who found themselves a part of that structure. You know, the only real way to change a culture, to change a nation, to change an individual, is to change that person from the inside out, to change their heart. You can't legislate it. You can't demand it. It has to come from the heart. So if you can change a person's heart, then you will change the situation in that nation. So that is how we need to pray, that God will change the hearts of people, that they will come to Christ, that they will realize that they need him, and then the nation will be changed. So that's what Paul does. Paul is interested in the hearts of those that he addresses. And so he says this, slaves, servants, employees, be obedient. Hupakuo in Greek. Listen to those who are in authority over you. Receive the instruction and the direction that they give to you. Just as Paul told us that children are to obey their parents in verse 1 of this chapter. He says, so workers are to continue to obey their masters, their employers. That should be the pattern of their life. So when we get up to go to work in the morning or at night, as those who belong to Christ, when we get to work, we're to follow the rules. We are to obey company policy as long as it does not conflict with the Word of God. We are to obey our supervisors even if they are difficult to follow. 1 Peter 2:18 says this, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Not only to those who are good, to those who are gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Peter says, behave in such a way that you honor those who are in authority over you. Don't be bitter against them. Don't resent them. But act in such a way that you bring honor to Christ in the workplace. Have this mindset. Not only to those who appreciate your work and who consider your work to be acceptable. That's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to honor them. But Peter says, honor those who treat you unfairly, who are unreasonable, scolios. Where we get our English word scoliosis, which means a twisting of the spine. Those masters who are twisted, who are unkind and unfair. Be ready, Paul says, to listen to them, to submit to their authority. Stay in line and give them sincere service by showing decency to all those who are your masters, your kurios, those who rule over you, he says, verse 5, according to the flesh, according to the moment of time where you find yourself in that job, in that position, in that place, the place where God has allowed you to remain. Because God has given you an opportunity. He has left you in that place in order for you to glorify Him. So whatever job we have, wherever we are, it is an opportunity that He has given us to shine as a light in a dark place. But despite what some people think, our occupation really doesn't define who we are. Isn't that the first thing people ask you? What you do for a living? Who you are? Somehow they think that defines you. That's the way the world defines us. The world may see us as a slave, but we are free in Christ. We're His child. We're His son. We're His daughter. So, when we're on the job, all it is an opportunity to serve Him, to glorify Him. So how are we to perceive? How are we to understand? How are we to approach this opportunity? Paul tells us that, verse 5. He says, here's how you're to approach your job. No matter what job you have, he says, approach it with fear. Phobos. With respect for your employer and with reverence for God. Approach your job, he says, with trembling. Tremors. Shaking all over. Shaking that fills our entire life. Well, that's a unique way to look at our job, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 2:3. The Apostle Paul said that when he preached the message of salvation, that he preached it with fear and trembling. Why? He said because he knew that in preaching that message, he knew that by those people who rejected that message, they weren't rejecting him, they were rejecting Christ. They were rejecting the salvation that he offered. And so they would experience eternal suffering without Christ. 2 Corinthians 7:15, he said that when the Corinthians received a man by the name of Titus into their fellowship, they received him with fear and trembling. Why? Because they knew he was a messenger of Christ with a message from him. Philippians 2:12, Paul tells us about the Philippians. And he says that they saw themselves as inadequate, as failures, because they lived before a God who is perfect, a God who sees all things. So they lived in fear and trembling, careful to obey Him. That's the attitude. That is the attitude that we are to have in our job, in our vocation, in our occupation. We are to have that sense of awe and of reverence. Isaiah 66:2, the Lord says this. He says, I will show blessing to the one who is humble, to the one who is of a broken heart, because that person realizes they can do nothing without me. And he says, I will show favor to the one who trembles at my word. So we are to approach our job, Paul says, in fear and trembling. Careful to obey the Lord. Careful to obey our masters, our employees, because by obeying them, we are obeying Christ. That's the perspective we're to have in mind. Obey them, he says, in sincerity. Haplotes, in singleness. The idea of a piece of paper being folded in half. One fold. A single fold. One motive. Something that's uncomplicated. Something that is clear. Obey your masters. Obey your employers with this one thought in mind. With one focus, he says, verse 5. With the desire of your heart to please Christ. So for his sake, you are to embrace the situation that you're in. Don't just endure it. Embrace it. Because as you obey your employer, you obey Christ. So each day you work. Each day you work for men. Every day you serve them. You're really serving the Lord. You're really serving Christ. You're working to give glory to Him, to give glory to Christ. So, it's not just a job, is it? But, it is worship. It is worship offered up to the Lord. Well, that certainly takes our job to a whole new level, doesn't it? Our job is worship. So then, everything that we do at work becomes sacred. It becomes sacred service. Our job performance becomes an expression of our love for Christ. So that, as it says in 1 Timothy 6, the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against, because the way that we act at work, how we do our job, will affect the perception of Christ that people have. It will affect the message of salvation that we bring. Isn't that true? Who will listen to our words if our lives don't reflect Christ? So, Paul says, verse 6, do not work on this basis. Don't work on the basis of eye service. Ophthalmoludia. Eye slavery. Doing what is right. Doing what is expected. Just because someone is watching. Someone is observing and evaluating our efforts. If we do that, Paul says, then we are not looking to please Christ, are we? But instead, we have become men-pleasers, anthroparsekos, those who are servants of men. Is that who we are? Are we really servants of men? Paul says, no, we are slaves. We are doulos. We are bondservants of Christ. We've been bought with a price, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We've been bought by His blood. If we have been bought by His blood and we belong to Him, then it should be the goal of our life to serve Him. Continually, Paul says in verse 6, bringing forth in our lives the will, the desires of God from our heart, from our psuche, from our spirit, from our soul, from our very breath. That should be the desire of our heart. Doing with good will, metanoias, ready, willing, with the fervent desire to render service, Paul says, to serve. Because we serve the Lord. Paul said in Romans 12, we should be fervent in spirit. Zeal means to boil over. Our lives should boil over, he says. We should serve the Lord at work with all our might, with all our strength, with all our energy. Yes, even at work. Maybe especially at work. Probably spend more time at work than we do at home, don't we? He said, do that knowing that we really don't work for men. We really work for Christ. And knowing this, verse 8, that whatever good things, agathos, whatever things that we do which are kind, which are appropriate in the situation, know this, Paul says, each one of us who knows Christ, even though what we do may not be appreciated at work, maybe we're not properly compensated for the work that we do, maybe we don't receive the recognition that we deserve. But still, Paul says, we are to remain faithful to Christ on our job. Because this faithfulness to him, he sees. He sees us as we work. And Paul says in verse 8, we will receive back kosmeo. It means it will return to us. It won't be lost. All of the effort, all of the work won't be lost, but it will be given back to us from the Lord as his reward to us. We may be underpaid. We may be overworked. And most of us think we are. But in the end, the Lord will make it right. Our payday will come. And it will come from him. It says in Galatians 6:7, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. It is a law, a picture found in agriculture that no one can argue with. Whatever kind of seed you put in the ground, you can expect the same type of crop to grow. And so it is with God's law, God's moral, his spiritual law. Proverbs 1:31 says this, that we will eat the fruit of our labor. So if we honor Christ, if we labor for him, when he comes, he will reward us. He will give us the fruit of our labor. He will reward us for what we do for him. He sees what we do. He knows. Even if no one else knows. Even if no one else really cares. But he is the one who will give us our final appraisal. Our final evaluation of our work. Not based on our social position. Not based on our job description. But it will be based on our motives and on our actions. Someday he will balance the books. So whether we are a slave, or whether we are free, Paul says, whether we are a servant or an employee, we are to be, as he said in Titus 2, 9 and 10, well-pleasing to those in authority over us. Working diligently, he says, so that excellence characterizes our work. You know, every Christian's work should be excellent. Because we work for Christ. And don't be argumentative, Paul says in Titus. Antilego, don't speak against your employer. Don't be contentious. Stand up for Christ, yes, but do it in such a way that brings honor and glory to him. And don't pilfer, he says. Nofizo. Don't take what's not yours. Money, property, time. But instead, Paul says, Show good faith, faithfully doing your job so you are a trustworthy and a reliable employee so that you might adorn cosmeo. You get our English word cosmetics. So that your life might bring order and beauty to the doctrine of God. Showing all respect, in every way. So when people see us on the job, they'll really see what a disciple of Jesus Christ looks like, a follower of Him. So that maybe even your boss, your supervisor, your employer, maybe your clients, maybe your customers, those who don't know Christ, when they see how we handle ourselves in business, maybe they will want your Savior as their Savior. Just think how that would change the workplace today if we were really doing that. And masters, Paul says, verse 9, lords, business owners, employers, those of you who know Christ, remember he's talking to the church here, says you have a responsibility to those that God has placed in your care, under your authority. You are to do the same things to them. Treat them the way that you want to be treated. Pattern your behavior the way that your employees are to pattern their behavior. The same principles apply to you. You are to respect them. You are to treat them fairly and honestly. You are to treat them that way because you seek to honor Christ. And so when you lead them by example. They should see Christ in you, just as you should see Christ in them. So be a person of your word. Be reasonable. Set the standard. And stop. Give up, he says, verse 9. Animi. Loosen. Let go of threatening, violent, abusive words, actions. Don't lead people by instilling fear in them. Knowing this, he says, understanding this fact and this truth, keep this in the back of your mind, that both their master and your master is Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. And with him, there is no partiality, no prosopopolisia, no favoritism. It's an interesting word. It was a word that was used to describe when someone would see a person and they would lift up their face in order to see who that person was before they decided how they would treat that person. God does not lift up our face. He treats us all equally. Whether we are a slave or a master, an employee or an employer, there is no partiality. There is no bias. There is no prejudice. The things of this world, the distinctions in this world have been leveled. Christ is our master. And we will all give an account to him. Psalm 119:133. There is a verse there that perhaps could be applied as a prayer in our lives as we're on our way to work. And there the psalmist says, direct my steps, O Lord, according to thy word, and let no sin, let no iniquity have rule and dominion over me. Why? Because I serve God. I serve Christ. So as the Lord fills us with His Spirit, as He fills us with His Word, may we become obedient and listen to what he says so that we might bring glory to his name at work, so that we might bring glory to Christ, our Lord and Savior.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.